Hey everybody, welcome back to the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, aka Chattagooner. We've got a full house tonight with Shabby, Shelly, and Todd to talk a little about Chattanooga Football Club. We've got some men's news, we've got some women's news, we've got some NISA, neutral NISA news. How are things with y'all in your various and sundry locations around Southeast Tennessee?
I'm all jacked up on steroids.
No, what is it? Hopped up on Mountain Dew.
I thought you were going to say you're hopped up on Mountain Dew like a spider monkey.
No, I've had a sinus infection for all the past week, and I got a steroid shot early this morning.
So you got roid rage?
Yes, exactly. I've cleaned the house spotless today.
Oh Jim, have you not watched Talladega Nights?
No, I have not.
Oh,
where have you been living?
Oh, here's funny.
I'm bringing my copy.
Hey, a little local. Oh. I'll bring that story local. The
you're
going to
bring me your
that,
copy.
I own that movie too.
So the kid that says that in the movie actually
you got a beta. You got a beta.
I've got it on LaserDisc.
You got a LaserDisc of Talladega Nights. Okay. Oh. Well,
so did you guys hear me? The kid that did that part actually uh-huh. went to Lee University and probably went to school with the Lanters.
Are you serious? Oh,
really? I'm very serious.
Okay, how
full circle
is that?
Okay, well, later on, we'll be talking to somebody else with some Alabama ties. We've got Kaylor Hodges from the Hammering Down Pod. We'll get to him after we talk about our nonsense, our NISA nonsense, and club news.
Neutral NISA news. Come on.
So I'm going to try to get us back on the agenda here, y'all. So we've had a couple of, we were lucky. We had the women's team tryouts and Shelly and I forgot that the sun works in February and both got radiation poisoning.
Yeah, I'm telling you what.
Well said, but it was a lot of fun. Had a great time with several Chattahooligans watching the women's team tryout. Shout out to Davis and Davis's dad. I forget. Remember, what's Davis's father's name? Do you know? Anybody remember?
Dad.
Davis's dad. With the pizza, brought the pizza and the wings for us while we were watching. That was awesome.
And Breezy brought the flight of Klondike bars.
That's right. We had Klondike bars of multiple flavors. There were cans of adult beverages being passed around. It was a lot of fun. And then in the meantime, between the morning session and the afternoon session, y'all, we got to see the men's team with a friendly against the University of Evansville Aces.
With some new people to us too, which we'll talk about shortly.
With some new people. Awesome. And so it was a fun day out for all. And then afterwards, Todd, why don't you talk a little bit about, we'll go ahead and start with this, talk a little bit about the event that occurred at Chattanooga Brewing after the tryouts.
Yeah, I mean, we just had some players, some women's trialists that came over and some that had committed. And just to kind of give them a taste of what a post-game might be like coming to Chattanooga and just basically show our appreciation, right, for them, you know, trusting in us enough to come try out and give us a chance. So I thought it was a lot of fun. We had, you know, those who were of age, you know, we had some beverages and some food. And Breezy got us some highlights going on one of the women's and men's highlights going on one of the televisions there. So that was nice. And Coach Douglas joined us. So I think it was just a really nice gesture towards the trialists to, you know, just kind of show our appreciation for them.
Yeah. Have you heard any feedback from any coach or anyone? Did they feel... Was it mission accomplished? Did they feel pretty well?
You know, funny you used the term mission accomplished, because I think that's exactly was in the message that Coach Douglas sent me. And he was kind of referring to just overall the day in general, right? The first and second sessions, the players that showed up, the quality that was there, the effort that was given on the field, you know, no serious injuries. And and then just the follow-up event as well. I think it was all just a good showing.
Yeah, we'll always love the players that came that kind of started our journey with us again last year. But you could really tell that the talent level was a little higher on the field just for the folks who were trying out.
I would give credit to last year's players for the quality of players that are coming out this year, yeah. Right? Because they went out there, they had a good year. They accomplished some firsts and they got it going. And now they drew enough attention that it's you know, there's bigger players, higher quality players that are interested in playing.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can kind of move in right into, we have a number of signings. I think we couldn't figure this out if we talked about Avery and Anna already, but Avery Catlett and Anna Lanter, two defensive stalwarts from last year's team, have come back and returned. We also have six new signings since we have talked. Grace Barker Roberts, who I believe is English.
She is from out of Butler University.
Right. I think she played for Arsenal Women's Academy, but she's a Man United fan. So
how does that?
Oh, you're torn. Hey, well, you know what? CFC legend, Gregor Hartley, product of Man City, Manchester United fan.
Yeah. Okay. That's
fair.
It happens.
That's enough of that. We have two more returners, some young women who have experience with the academy and then came in and played. So Kaylee Burrell and Anna Silva. So good to see them back. Then we have two international players, Mara Grootkamp, who's coming to us from Germany. I know she's got some German youth experience.
Yeah, it looked like she was under 17s, under 19s, and now plays at Louisiana Monroe.
Yep. And then Nadia Evanchico. I didn't check her
Ukrainian national team.
National team.
And currently plays for Truett McConnell.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And I'll tell you how Coach got a look at her. While I was looking at her bio, I saw that one of her highlights was that she had a hat trick against Point University Scott.
Well, that would make sense then. Yes. What better way to recruit?
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that's good. And then last but certainly not least, summer is coming.
Woo. Yep.
So she's back.
Put your sunscreen on.
And now it's like a double family legacy.
That's right. Back in blue, summer.
I mean, let's be honest. Answer,
but now Hernandez. What?
Let's be honest. I mean, probably regardless, unless we're about to sign a U.S. national team or something, this was probably the biggest women's signing that we've had to date. I think we all understand what it means. I think we all appreciate that. And it's kind of like full circle with this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know. It's layered in so many ways. And so I'm happy to have her back. You know, at the trial the other day, like she looked great.
She did.
Well, I mean, looked really fit, looked sharp on the ball. So definitely one of the standouts.
When I heard it was a possibility, I didn't allow myself to look ahead. You know, I didn't allow myself to get excited. It was really great to see her out on Saturday, and then when the announcement came, it was great. I mean, it really felt good to see that. It made me smile, and it's really great to have her back in blue.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else about the women's team? We still don't have a schedule.
Yeah, no schedule yet.
But that's fine. We don't play for a little while, so I'm sure
we'll get one. We don't play till what, the end of May?
Yeah,
end of May. So, yeah, we have a couple of months left to go. So, I mean, not too shocking that we don't have theirs yet. I'll be interested to see how it kind of meshes in with the men's side, because obviously we have our men's schedule. So I'll be curious to see how that is. I mean, I know that we got that doubleheader last year, and it's a polarizing topic of folks that folks that either rough. Loved it or hated it. It was rough. It was a lot of fun, but really rough. So I'll be curious to see if there happens to possibly be some iteration of a doubleheader this year.
I bet there's going to be one.
I hope there is one. There is an audience for it.
Yeah, and it was a fun day. It's just we were all recovering for what felt like a month after.
As long as they let us leave and go get something to drink across the street and then come back.
Yeah, that's would actually be helpful.
Yeah.
It needs to. Well, you know, most of the women that are coming that are still in college, remember, they have a spring season. It's a short season, but maybe they only play 4, 5, 6 games, something like that. But they still have a spring season to get through. So let's hope they survive the spring season unscathed and come ready to play at the end of May.
Yeah, we'll be ready to welcome them with open arms. Cannot wait.
Excited for year two, new teams and new players. It'll be great. We also have some men's team news. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk a little bit later with Kaylor about this the upcoming friendly with Birmingham. It'll be behind closed doors, and as you'll hear Kaylor say, I think all indications are it will not be streamed at all, so we won't be able to see. But it's, you know, it's getting close to that March 4th open friendly with One Knoxville. And I don't know if you saw this on the club's Twitter account, but apparently we've named the matchup. Now we've got.
Yeah.
the Tennessee River Showdown.
I guess we had to name it. Whatever.
If there's a Chaco.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
Really?
Yeah. What's the trophy going to be? Is it going to be like a handle, a jack, or something?
It'll be just a cup of water. Yeah, it'll be a cup of water that says
like a super
not. This says not Atlanta's.
You're right. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe super soakers. That would be fitting.
And then, I forgot to put this on the agenda, but seeing Beeman United, we've got a friendly against Beeman United in March. Mm-hmm. They could also be our first round Open Cup matchup.
Exactly.
Because
so
they
be
are playing the mm-hmm. Des Moines Menace.
Yeah.
And the winner of that match will host us. So it's interesting.
Murfreesboro is a lot easier than a drive.
I know. But I kinda like the idea of Des Moines, because the Menace are they've been around. They're a well known amateur team. To have us play them, I think would be cool.
I agree.
But the ability to just drive over the mountain.
Yeah, it would be great.
Would be really great. So I think we're going to, it's a win for us either way. I don't mean the match. I just mean that I hope it's going to win for us either way with the match, mm-hmm. but it's either a really cool matchup or a really easy trip. So I think that's good. And then finally on the 18th, Huntsville City will come up and, we'll get our first taste. No, we won't. It's our second taste of next pro soccer because we played Charlotte last year. So, mm-hmm. It's really exciting. And now we can start to see a first 11 forming. And we've got some three new players that I think all are pretty good signings. Aiden Bowers, a center back from, he played at Cal United last year. And Todd, who's our other center back?
Oh, yeah. It was straight from Chisinau, Moldova, is Anatoly Prepolita. So, yeah.
I'm so glad you've been practicing.
Yeah. So he's from the capital of Moldova, Chisinau. Or so Chisinau, if you want to use the alternative pronunciation.
So Todd, how did you practice your pronunciation?
I watched the opening scenes of Borat. I thought it was really good to kind of get in there. It's kind of like the Anatoly. Yeah. It's shocking. It really brings that you got to get really deep when and kind of like.
Oh, my word.
Anatoly.
Wow.
I watched a little bit of Red Dawn as well. So.
Oh my goodness. No, but I'm actually really excited about Toli here because we've got this is a person that's been playing in, you know, an upper upper division. I mean, you know, Moldovan national team played for FC Balti in the Moldovan Superliga, which, I mean, you know, take that for what it's worth. But
I hear it's on par with the Andorran
Well,
Super
because
League.
We got to see him play. Like, on Saturday, we actually got to see him live and in the flesh.
Yeah, we did.
And, and he can move. I mean, he can move. And the thing is, he's so tall. He honestly reminds you, like, if you just saw him from behind as he's playing, he reminds you of the stature of Spielman, you know, Nick Spielman.
Yeah.
Play with us. I mean, he really has that build. Super, super tall.
Looking as at the his kids, stats, he's 6'4".
Yes.
Yeah, he's tall.
As the kids say, he is a unit.
I don't know any kids. Okay. Okay, sure.
Well, if that is not the title of this podcast.
He's an absolute unit.
Oh, my word. He's a unit.
I prefer, like, say, like, he's a dude.
He's a dude. Is that what the kids say now?
I don't know.
And then last but certainly not least, we have Lionel Beto Alvarenga.
From Cal United.
Another Cal United player from the
UC Irvine.
Well, I mean, someone had to absorb these players.
Yes. Exactly.
So I went ahead and since I like to dabble with Adobe Illustrator and I had to mock up the Cal United logo. I don't know if anybody saw this. I tweeted out. So it's the Cal United CFC logo. I think it looks pretty nice.
It does, but you're wrong for that. You know that.
Well, you know, I know. I kind of trolled. It's kind of self trolling, right? I mean, I did that for, I did it for the Stumptown last year. I did a CFC Stumptown logo. I think it
speaks volumes to the club though, right? That these guys, you know, Stumptown dissolved. We got some of those players, Cal United has dissolved and now we've gotten several of those players. It's kind of like those guys saying, hey, if I can't ply my trade close to home, the next best place I would want to be is Chattanooga, Tennessee. I mean, I think
Absolutely.
That's really like speaks volumes to what this club is doing.
It does. And, you know, it's funny. I had that exact same conversation with my husband, earlier this week as we were kind of laughing about all of these players that we're absorbing from here and there and everywhere. And, you know, on the women's side, too, like all these people coming in because they want to be a part of what we are making and what we're doing and what we are building here in Chattanooga. And I mean, that's exciting.
Yeah. And if I had my stuff ready, I would have a little sound clip for I'd quote some Tennessee Jed, right? Because Tennessee, there ain't no place I'd rather be. Anybody else know the Grateful Dead?
No, I don't listen to them.
Well, you should.
Well, you know what I'm excited for about Beto? You know, I was reading the release and things like that. He says he loves being involved in the community, and that just made my little heart so happy.
And I hope he's involved in a lot of goals. So he is an attacking mid. I'm really excited to see because now we have some real choices to make. You know, we've got Mumu who was playing at the kind of the 10 in the midfield. Now we've got him. We've got the kid who I think Todd thinks could move inside some. I don't think he will. He probably play out on the wing, but I think we've got some real attacking talent to go with Taylor Gray on the left and Marcus through the middle. I'm really excited about what we can see and scoring some goals in the league. So,
not that I wasn't excited before, but I am super excited now that, especially with these signings, both on the men's and the women's side.
Yeah. It's a good week for signings.
Very nice.
Very good week.
Hey, we're big. I don't know, you know, Shabby and Shelly, you may not know this, but we're kind of big and, Kazakhstan. So
it's good to know.
We heard our numbers dropped when you two came on.
Yeah.
Because they don't like women.
I guess maybe.
I'm not saying anything.
We were the number one CFC related podcast in Kazakhstan. So
well, I'll see what I can do to increase our Finnish numbers.
I can do that. Yeah, do that.
I've got a large network of European folks. I will send out info tonight and have them start clicking that subscribe button.
So did you watch Bordertown? Have you watched it?
No, actually, that is my reward tonight for my crazy past 2 weeks. So, yes,
well,
I am going to start it. I I have the TV actually queued up already. So
you gotta let me know if you recognize the you gotta let me know if it's actually filmed on location.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, because what I'll do, and I need to actually message my folks that like live there, like in that city, like legit live there, to see if I can find out some information too.
Awesome, awesome. Always watching some Nordic noir. It's a good deal. So, hey, we've been talking for a while. We've got Kaylor to come up. I know that we've really not touched base on the schedule, but there's so much to talk about and bitch about with the schedule. I don't want to give it short shrift. So maybe we can do that next week. Is that okay with everybody?
Good with it.
Oh yeah, we can do neutral NISA news next week. That's
good. All right. So let's go ahead and bring Kaylor on again. Kaylor is Birmingham. He's an old Birmingham Hammers fan, and it was good to talk to him about the upcoming friendly with Birmingham. So just hold on a second. When we come back, we'll be talking with Kaylor. Next on the podcast, we have a guest coming to us from Alabama. We are, as you know, we have a friendly with the Birmingham Legion.
Alabama. Okay. Jim does not need any more like friends of Alabama on this show. Let me guess. Like, don't even say it. Are you an Arsenal fan too? You just want to come out with that? Is that how y'all met in a Arsenal fan group? And like,
don't make me throw up, please.
Okay, already a well, strike.
You can finish the introduction now.
Thank you, Todd. Can I introduce who you're talking to? So it's great to have Kaylor Hodges, the host of the Hammering Down podcast, talking about the Birmingham Legion. So Kaylor, how are things down in Birmingham?
You know, we were talking a little bit just not too long ago about recording in trucks, and it's 8 degrees now, and I was not prepared for that. But you know, soccer world, it's going okay. The season ended the way it ended. Right now, some exciting stuff out of FC Birmingham doing UPSL and moving to WPSL with them, and then Legion getting their W League team and looking to build an attacking team for once, which is exciting for Legion because they are built on defense and scoring goals. We don't like to do that. So they have decided to circumvent that thing by only attacking strikers, which is cool.
That's good. Well, what's your kind of history with the game? I mean, I know we talked right before that you were there day one with the Hammers, so we can share some NPSL stories. But how did you get involved with soccer? Being in the heart of, like, you know, you're very close to the best college football program in the country. So
yeah, so I mean, I did go to the University of Alabama, did the Million
Roll Tide.
Yeah, Roll Tide. Did the marching band there, and so I was big into band, did that whole thing, but I did play soccer in high school. By soccer in high school, I wore the uniform. I played goalkeeper. The coach was a wrestling coach, and he was coaching soccer because they said, "Hey, man, do you want the job or not?"
I swear we're living parallel lives over here.
So, you know, I enjoyed soccer. I thought it was fun. And then I went and watched a match up in Cincinnati where a lot of my family lives, and it happened to be one of the inaugural matches of FC Cincinnati, which, you know, whatever about them and that whole journey from whatever, but that was still like, whoa, first professional match, and there are like 15,000 people here. I thought people only went to watch football for that amount of people. That's crazy. And then I found out about the Hammers that were down and playing in Sickard Hollow. And I went to the first match down there, and I think there were maybe 500 people there, maybe. And I had a blast. And it was like, this is happening in my backyard. And I was hooked. And then from then on, I've been a junkie. And just like every other white guy with a microphone, I decided to start talking about it on a podcast.
What? So along those lines, so you do have a podcast, you talk on the Hammering Down pod. You also do some stuff with the USL show, right?
Yeah, so when Phil and the Evans decide to move on from the latest iteration of the USL show, they reached out to me And so I kind of became the host of the show. We all like to claim co-host, because it is very even distribution of each other. But, you know, I was the one that kind of made the new team, if you will. So I kind of took that project over, and it's been a great time with that as well.
If why don't you go a little bit, talk a little bit about kind of the move or the I guess the women's team that you alluded to, it that the Legion are looking at doing. I know that we've got, there's some relationship between some of our former WPSL teams that are, you'll be going into the W League this summer, right?
Yeah, so this W League team is going to be through, my understanding, is the Birmingham United Soccer Academy, also known as BUSA around these parts, mm-hmm. Because too many letters confuses the rednecks. And so that's kind of what they're going to do. And that they also get called Alabama FC. That is their competitive team through like ECHL and WPSL. Yeah. So my understanding that this is going to be the same program. It's just going to be under the Legion shield. But they're a team that has created a lot of, just kind of brought up a lot of talent. And, you know, obviously played in y'all's neck of the woods several times. This last year, Alabama FC, they were okay. They finished, I believe it was third or fourth. And it was to some good teams, both the Tennessee, I think, Force and SC, maybe.
Nashville.
Yeah. They did really well, and they finished behind them, which is nothing to scoff at, obviously. So coming into the W League, we'll see. I'm a big fan of the W League. I like what I've seen out of them. So it's nice to be able to see the Legion squad and this BUSA squad get a little bit more recognition on, you know, a brand that is booming around.
So, Kayla, if you could kind of, I mean, we're just, you know, our rednecks ourselves up here in Tennessee.
Absolutely.
But give us an idea of the soccer landscape in Alabama. You know, for, you know, a lot of people may think it's just, you know, some obscure state, and it's easy to forget, you know, it's hosted the U.S. women's and men's national teams in certain games. They're home to some soccer powerhouses like Vestavia Hills. So if you could just kind of paint a picture for us, what it looks like down there.
So soccer in Alabama is an interesting one, right? Because there's a lot of teams through here. You know, we talked about, obviously, the Birmingham Hammers, who then became Birmingham Legion. That is one thing I do want to say, is that the Hammers became the Legion. It wasn't just like Hammers died, Legion's here. Owners came through, and it was a continuation of the Hammers, which... Did I like the branding of the Hammers more? Yes. I'm fine with the Legion, though. As for, you know, the north part of Alabama, we have Northern Alabama Soccer Club, or North Alabama Soccer Club, which is in Huntsville, which is now in, you know, deep in the trenches of soccer wars with Huntsville City, which that whole situation is interesting, and I'm not the right person to share that story. Someone from Huntsville is, but it's a really interesting divide going on there. In Birmingham, we also have FC Birmingham, who just popped up a year or 3 years ago now. And they've been doing a really cool job of specifically trying to get players from these minority parts of town that are largely ignored. Instead of basing their camp in what we call the hills, the rich area of town, they put their headquarters right in the heart of some of the lowest SES parts of the state. And have they been amazing world beaters? No, but by God, they've been competitive, and it's been really cool to see. Go down a little bit south. I mean, there's Birmingham is a hotbed for local academy. Tuscaloosa has a good academy going on down there with Tuscaloosa United. And then going down to the beach is really fun, where they have AFC Mobile and NPSL, and now the Gulf Coast. I don't know how that whole merger thing's happening, but they are, I mean, it's a really cool thing they have going on there. They're drawing 2,000, 3,000 people. And it's really, really fun and exciting. The high school players, the high school tournaments, most of those players that from what we consider like the A divisions. I don't know what Tennessee calls the populations. We call them like 1A, 2A, 3A, that kind of stuff. Most of the teams from 5A up are just chock full of people who are going to be playing in like the ACC for Duke, North Carolina, Wake Forest, and a lot of Clemson. Those teams are basically just college all-stars, and it's incredible football to watch.
Wow. And who's the guy that plays for Crystal Palace? Chris Richards? He's from
Chris Richards.
Right?
Yeah. So funny enough, I played against Chris. We're the same age. I played against him. His dad was a basketball star, went international, played there. Chris, for a little while, we were the same size, much better athlete than I ever am and ever will be. Chris is an incredible guy. His family is awesome. His younger brother is actually still in the Birmingham area and is in the academy. And a lot of people are saying that he's better than Chris ever was. So be on the lookout in about 10 years of another Richards. We also have Tanner Tessman, who's from Birmingham, who's now playing Venezia. He's starting out there. Oh, there's so many. Neely Martin is from Birmingham. She's now at New York, New Jersey, Gotham. She was with Racing Louisville for a while. Oh, we have so many more. Brandon Cervania, Jaden Cervania, too, a U.S. international and a Puerto Rican international, are from Birmingham.
How many of these players are coming up and going through like the UAB program?
So that's the thing, is not many, because most of them were being poached. Most of them were being poached to go, the men's side anyway, were being poached from FC Dallas. So on the men's side, they would get poached to go to FC Dallas and they would be sold on from there. But the cool thing is that the women's side, on the other hand, that's where Alabama FC came through. You guys saw Neely Martin years and years ago with WPSL through Alabama FC. Now Riley Mattingly Parker, she just got drafted. She also went through the Alabama FC Academy, and now she's playing for Tigres on loan from Racing Louisville. Wow. So,
probably one of the top 20 women's teams in the world.
Yeah. And
I love hearing
these
kinds of stories.
And there's another girl, and I'm blanking on her name, and I feel awful because I played futsal with her like 2 months ago, and I'm blanking on her name right now. But she's from the Birmingham area, and she's playing for Real Betis. Like, she is a starter there. So there's a lot of talent. The women's talent stays at home, but for so long, our men's talent was being poached over to FC Dallas and Atlanta United. But we're starting to see a lot more of those players stay here at home, not only with Birmingham Legion, but also through FC Birmingham.
Do you guys have I'm sure there's an academy attached to Legion, but is there a pipeline to develop players? And do you guys have like an under 23 or?
Not a proper U23, but we definitely have the academy team. They do the full USL Academy schedule. They also still play club ball and high school ball. It's not as fleshed out as I would love for it to be personally, but for a club that started off in NPSL and then PDL, they made the transition from the academy in that U23 landscape. They've made it pretty professional. Eric Avila, he played in MLS for years and years and years. He's now our academy coach. So they've got guys who are going to train them right, and they've done an incredible job for the very beginning.
That's awesome. Now, you've told us about the history and, you know, things that y'all are going through down there. Do you have, that you've been there for a while, any favorite MPSL stories from, you know, Birmingham's MPSL days? I know some of us have some very lovely stories about many of the MPSL teams from Alabama.
So this one's not my very, very favorite story. Was not MPSL, but was PDL. But it was with Tormenta, South Georgia Tormenta. And, you know, the whole time of us trying to figure out what a Tormenta was, we were like, what's going on? What was an Albus? We don't know what that is. they brought so many fans to our stadium out at Samford, which Samford was a place that we weren't allowed to drink because it's a, you know, private Christian school. But the where the stadium was, there's an adjacent parking lot that the bank, there was a bank that loved for us to be in their parking lot drinking. So we'd have to walk like 1,000 yards to get to the stadium, but we had a RV where we'd all just be just having a blast and then walking over. And there was this guy wearing just face paint of an albus. And we're like, why is there a bird on this guy's face? What's an albus? because we were not thinking straight. And, you know, they ended up beating us 3-1. I think they ended up winning like the NPSL that year because they were ridiculously good. And they shoved one of our players, Mathieu Laurent, they shoved his face into the ground on the final whistle. They went up for a header. Ref blew the whistle in the air. Mathieu got fouled, no call. Obviously, the game ended, and shoved his face in the ground. We started booing. They started throwing up the 3-1s at us, reminding us that, you know, we lost 3-1 because we are not very good. And they, from them, we started. There was a guy that got hurt midway through the game, but I guess they didn't have any kind of what are they called? Anything to help him walk, basically. And so they were having just. Crutches, thank you. All I could think of was a stretcher, but it wasn't that extreme. and so they were just carrying him off, and we were just booing this guy who couldn't walk, and it was just like, what are we what are we doing? And NPSL, I remember the first time that you guys came down for NPSL, it was our first year in 2016, and you guys came down. And I think that was the year that you guys won the Southeast Conference. Mm-hmm. And I think y'all went undefeated. I think that was 2016. Oh, and yeah. And we went almost completely defeated. And you guys brought so many fans. And then we were just there to have a good time. We were just having a blast. And then we see all these fans show up. And then we see this team that looked like they were just from a different planet than ours. We're like, all right, boys, girls, this is going to be a bad one. and we got battered. It was a rough one. And I don't think it changed in 2017 either.
Well, to be fair, 2016 was probably one of the best, if not the best amateur team that, mm-hmm. that we ever had.
Yeah, I refer to that year as lightning in a bottle.
That was wild. Should have won it all that year, and it just didn't happen, man. So,
yeah, and fun fact, so I'm part of the group that works on our TIFO and things like that. The only TIFO to date that has gone missing after an actual match is the one that we made for the Birmingham Hammers. We still to this day have no clue where it went.
What did you do with it, Kaylor? What did you do with it? This has all been a ruse for an interrogation.
And it, holding I can you tell accountable you, personally.
And I can tell you exactly when it happened. It was a home match, and we had a rain delay, and then they ended up canceling because of the rain, and we had to reschedule. And it was during that time, someone magically... All the rest of the TIFO remained except that one. And we still to this day have no clue where it went.
I don't want to throw him under the bus because I love my guy. But there is one of our guys who is from Chattanooga who was transplanted down to Birmingham. And he's always had this fun rivalry himself with Chattanooga FC just because he was a transplant to Birmingham and decided that he wanted to go heel turn, I guess. So if I had to take a gander, that might be a place to look.
He's the proud owner. Because that was a really fun one, too. We were pretty impressed with our snarkiness on y'all's.
Don't worry. There's somebody somewhere with a 423 soccer pod banner hanging on their wall. That's true. And they've never even like taunted us with it, which I'm kind of disappointed with.
They stole it.
Same person who took all of our big heads the last year we were in the NPSL. Somewhere they're on someone's wall smiling at them.
So good so stories.
Taylor, how do you feel about the upcoming season for Legion? How's it look for you guys? Or where did you finish last year, and what's it looking like this year?
So we finished in fourth, and we got knocked out first round of the playoffs, but we did get our first ever home playoff game, which I think we brought in 12,000 people for that game, which was incredible to see in Birmingham. I didn't think that would honestly ever happen in Birmingham. So even though the loss hurt, it went down to penalties, and there were some dodgy calls, some coaching decisions that a lot of us didn't agree with. It definitely left a sour taste in the mouth, but it also left me excited of like, man, we can get that many people in here. And maybe it is just because it was for a big match, but you know, even if 10% of those people come back, that's a major increase. Right. So it was an interesting way to end the year last year. I think I said at the top of the show, we brought in all the attacking talent you could really want. It is one of the best attacking rosters in the league, but this is also a team that just kind of traditionally doesn't score a lot. It's a team that is known off its defense, and I would still wager that it's one of the best, if not the best, defense in the USL. And we're missing a major piece, our right back, Johnny Dean. For 2 years straight, played every single minute of the USL schedule. And he's now off in MLS with the Chicago Fire. So that's going to be a major piece for us to miss. But the guys we've brought in, I really believe in too. I don't know if it's going to be a championship year, but it really is kind of a top three or top four kind of situation. And, you know, get into the dance and you might go to the ball.
And you all also have your opener coming up very, very soon.
We're taking on Pittsburgh Riverhounds, which is the team that knocked us out from the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The story goes is that our coach was walking off the pitch telling our general manager, we're going to play them for the opening game. We will play them the opening game.
look what you got.
Look what we got. This has become a fun one. The Pittsburgh-Birmingham rivalry, you know, you can try to make some kind of fun, like, oh, two steel cities going against each other, black gold, whatever. Honestly, we just hate them. I hate that team. Forever, it was Memphis. We hated Memphis. MPSL, we hated Memphis. That's kind of what it was. And back when it was the Hammers versus Memphis City, there was hatred there. But once USL kind of got around and it was the same team, that hatred went away. But I have just bad intent and bad will towards everybody on that Pittsburgh roster. I hate them. I cannot stand them. So it's a fun one to get the season going and get the blood flowing.
Yeah, I was going to say you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait long to try to get revenge for that loss in the playoffs last year. That is one way to get everybody excited about the beginning of a new season.
So what's your vibes about this weekend? What are you looking for? You got a score prediction for us? I mean, it's going to be totally made up, right? Because we're not going to know.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to be able to see it on the
screen.
Just
throw something out there. We don't even care.
Chattanooga will announce that you guys won like 4-3. We'll announce that we won 5-0 and we'll go on our happy way.
Well, on the podcast, I'm actually going to announce that we won 52-49 to keep in current.
Okay. Okay.
Hey.
Okay. My God. How long have you been waiting to get that in?
7 minutes and 22 seconds.
Okay. You know, I'll be honest with you. Score prediction. I was like, oh, where we go? I just got re-traumatized. I forgot where I was.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what I'm looking for, we're missing our two top goal scorers. One of them is still in Jamaica on visa issues. The other one I think he's recovering from a broken foot, and that's Enzo Martinez. So that's two of our leading goal scorers, kind of gone. So on that, I don't know. I think what I'm really looking for is I want to see some more continuity between the midfield, because we lost pretty much our best central attacking midfielder we've ever had in Bruno Lapa. And we're letting a 16 or he just turned 17, Matthew Corcoran, He's 17-year-old, and he's getting his first chance to really start, and he's kind of filling in that role. So I want to see him grow.
Probably a lot like us. You probably don't so much care about the score. You just want everybody to get experience and not get hurt.
Get minutes in.
Pretty much. I want to see our attack do some things. Here's what I would say. I would be disappointed if our starters let in more than two goals. Two goals. I would be really disappointed by that. And I want to at least see us bag one goal against y'all's best 11. That's really the two things that I'm looking for. Obviously, I don't want to lose, but I want to see some defensive continuity stay true. And I want to see the attackers, and I want to see our strikers get goals without our two biggest goal-scoring threats. That's really what I'm looking for. If I was being a homer and being really just like, whatever, I think I would say, this is an easy 4-1 win. But also, people don't – I say this, and I really mean this. The NPSL is not as far from the USL Championship as people think, and NISA is not as far from the USL Championship as people think. So I think
just ask Memphis.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that this one will probably be – I feel in my heart of heart that this is going to be like a 2-1 win for Legion, but you never know, because the second half will probably be all trialists for both teams.
Exactly what it was when we played this past Saturday. Like, we had 11 on 11 and then in the first half, and then nobody knew a single player in the second half of the game. The irony was that all six goals were scored in the first half.
This is me. I am fully biased against Memphis, and I want that to be known. I have every bias against them, but they also have a horrible defense. I mean, their defense was bad. Last year they were leaky and not great, and then they lost their best players. I'm not shocked that there were goals scored against them for fun. Their offense is really exciting and really fun to watch, and I want to throw up after saying that. But, you know, they are a good attacking team, but their defense is just rough.
Yeah, we did play Memphis in a friendly, but that was, I think we did 4 30-minute kind of phases. And I think the first two were basically the 60 minutes with the first team and 60 minutes with the trialists. Have you talked with the club? Do you know anything about the structure for this weekend? Is it just going to be a 90, or are they going to do something different?
From what I understand, this one's just going to be a standard 90. They've been trying to move away from those like six or the 30-30-30s and the that kind of thing. They've been trying to move away from that. They might do that for some of the later ones. Like, I know we played Memphis later on this preseason. We might have another a couple of League 2 and UPSL friendlies along the way. That might be cut up like that, but I think they're still in the midst of trying to get everybody ready to go for a full 90.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of looking – I really hope we've just signed a couple of new center backs and some other one attacking a new attacking player. I think a lot of people are excited about. So I'm really focused on I will take a 0-0 draw all day. Cause right now I'd like to see us tighten up on the defense. I think I'm comfortable with what we've got up top. And I think, you know, I think Naglasad will score. I like the kid outright and Taylor Gray on the left. But I would like to see us tighten up on the defense. So I'm more worried about scoring goals. I'm more worried about us defending. So, it should be. And also I don't know what it was. So I know I've watched, I think I watched the last year's playoff game, but that's probably the only Birmingham game. That probably was the only USL game I watched last year. What should our guys expect to see in Birmingham?
You mean as a squad, just kind of how they play?
Yeah.
Okay. Crap don't change. It's Tommy Stone. It's his Tommy Ball. It's 4-2-3-1, babe. That's the way it always is, always will be. You might see it flow to a 4-2-4 with the four-man front line pressing pretty high up. That's kind of what they started moving to with this system. Before, they were really big on the fullbacks getting up the pitch, especially one fullback. That was our Johnny Dean type. Now would probably be Moses Mensah, who has been around the block now. He is now our left back, and he's really attacking players, so he might be that fullback that gets up. Expect a ton of crosses diagonally to the top of the box. We don't typically do a lot of crossing in the air, despite Juan Agudelo being like 6'2" and can jump higher than a mountain. We don't really cross the ball in the air to him, but that does seem to be something that's changing. The big person, or like the big thing to really focus on with this team, and it's something that they've done for the last 3-4 years now, is there's a heavy emphasis on technical players. They want players who can dribble the crap out of the ball, who can go one-on-one with anybody, and they're confident to beat them. That's what this team's made up of. So if you're worried about your center backs, I would be, obviously we can't watch the replay, or there's not going to be a live stream as of now. So take that with a grain of salt, but I would like to see how your center backs can play as a pair, because this
us too.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that is really good at beating center backs on the one-on-one. So taking it to a 2-on-1, forcing our players to make the pass, to lay it off, that's something that they struggled with these last few years, is laying the ball off to a late runner and getting a 1-on-1 with the keeper. If your team can shut down that player who is dribbling, I think they have a good chance to keep a clean sheet.
Well, I do like the idea of your left back bombing forward, because our right winger will cause your left side a lot of problems. So I do
once
like
again, the, ask Atlanta United.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Ask, yeah. So it's I like that.
You brought up Juan Agudelo. Like, that's crazy to me. That guy should be 147 years old.
Yeah.
And he's only 30.
And he's not even 30. He's not even 30.
Right. And I remember when the guy came onto the scene through the New York Red Bulls and then the U.S. national team. I remember him scoring down in South Africa in a friendly. And it was him and Till Bunbury, and they were going to be the future front line for the U.S. national team. And just, you know, it just never really came to fruition. But
so
it's good to see the guy still playing.
It's funny that you mention Till Bunbury, because his nephew is on our team. Mateo Bunbury is on our squad. And he was he actually just was on trial with Benfica. And he just got back about a month ago from his trial with Benfica. So yeah, Mateo he's a stud. He is a real deal
Canadian?
Player. Sorry? Canadian?
Their dad was Canadian.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a Canadian guy. I don't think he's with the U23 or the U17 World Cup, because I think because he's 17, I don't know if he actually counts for that. I'm confused on how all that works, to be honest. Mateo is an incredible player. So there is a Mateo Bunbury striking partnership or there is a Bunbury Agudelo striking partnership in Birmingham, which is pretty cool.
Well, Keller, we really do appreciate your time. Is there anything else that we didn't cover about with Birmingham? Anything else you want to, give us a little idea of kind of what you've got on store for your show and, for this season?
So for me personally, there's a lot going on in my life. You gave me a spoiler to what's coming at the very end, so I'll save part of that. But for my show personally, we've gotten a lot of for the USL show, we've gotten hooked up with a lot of interviews with coaches and players, and I'm just excited to get the USL season started. especially to get into like League Two and W League and start covering that again, because it really did make the week go by a lot easier of having something for look forward to. With Hammering Down, I got my first, I guess we call it like partnership type thing. I will be doing live shows at a local brewery for the away games, and I'll be live streaming that. So that's really exciting. And I'm also working to getting another partnership through a local coffee shop, because I'm a caffeine addicted fiend.
That's so, right. You're trying to get followers on, is that right? You're trying to get followers on Instagram to get that sponsorship.
Yeah. At Hammering Down Pod. Sorry. Hashtag ad.
No, that's fine.
trying to get to 500. And if I get 500, they said they would do a little partnership with me. It's really not necessarily about getting like money or like free coffee or anything like that. I really want to support a local company that I really believe in their message and their story. Cool. And for them to be able to be like, yes, we are good with our name aligning with your name, and I could officially promote their stuff. That's really what it's all about.
Well, you'll no doubt get the 423 Soccer Pod boost when two people,
do not insult all, you know, fives of tens people that might listen to us.
Both of our listeners will.
In our one day to be named multiple accounts.
So
yeah, and yes, our one day to be named sponsor. Once we get that vlog going.
Well, you mentioned your Instagram. Anything else? Where can they find you, Kaylor? On where folks find you on the interwebs if they want to follow what you're doing in the USL.
So you can find, I do most of my posting on my personal Twitter account at Kaylor Hodges. Not Kaylor as in Navas, but like as in like Taylor with a K. So that's where you can find a lot of that personal stuff, along with USL thoughts. The USL show, if you want to, you know, kind of cross the aisle a little bit and dabble in that world. And then at Hammering Down Pod is where I'll be posting on Instagram. I usually post, I get down onto the field and do videography of the game. So if you want to see like goals from the game and some fun shots of the crowd and stuff, I'll be posting all that kind of stuff there.
Great. Again, thanks so much for joining us. Like I said, when we started, we like to end with going around and asking folks what is making them smile this week. So I'll let you start, Kaylor. What is making you smile this week?
So part of the reason I was a little bit late today, I just got off the road visiting my fiance. We have been long distance for about 2 years now. So I got to see her for the first time in about a month or so. And we have just finished up a last little bit of wedding planning. So it's
Thank you.
So super excited, and it was obviously nice to see her, and that long stretch of being apart is soon to be over, so it has me just over the moon.
Awesome. So, hey, Todd, what's making you smile this week?
What's making me smile is I do a high school soccer show down in Dalton, and we've had an incredible run of games, and that makes me smile. But I was informed today that there is a company that is reaching out to us that wants to sponsor
I was getting excited.
Well, I mean, the show has sponsors, but this particular company wants to sponsor maybe a particular family that has fallen on hard times, and that kind of lifted my heart. Number one, that they thought to include us, and number two, just see where this goes.
That is awesome.
And where can folks find you on the internet there, Todd?
Find me at Great Footballer on Twitter and over on Instagram. You can find me at Great Footballer as well. And then the Monday Night Football account is at Monday Night Football, FUTBOL.
Shelley, what's making you smile this week?
Not my son poisoning, as we've already discussed. it was a fun Saturday at Findlay, but not the after effects. But I am running a 10K on Saturday in Nashville, so I'm very excited about that.
Nice.
I mean, running that long might not make a lot of people smile, right, but I enjoy it.
Does not make me smile. And where can folks find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitter at ShellyAirs82.
And Shabby, what is making you smile this week?
So I was blessed and fortunate to spend the weekend in Miami with members of my family that I haven't seen in a very long time. Some of these people in almost 20 years or more, and just had an amazing, amazing time catching up with everybody, enjoying that time with the family, meeting all the new cousins and babies that have been born, and just having a great time partying in Miami. So that has been that has definitely been one of the things that's brought a smile to my face this week. So to paraphrase Angelica in Hamilton, to the groom, to the bride, from your cousin that is always by your side, may you always be satisfied.
Love it.
And where can folks find you for all your other quotes and sayings that you share?
Oh, yeah, good luck with that. No, you can find me on Twitter at ShabbyBelle, ShabbyBelle.
And what's making me smile is my oldest son, I believe, has started to figure out a path in life that is, you know, for those, I don't know if anybody else has, nobody else has, oh no, Shabby has kids, so she understands a little bit, like, you know, he's now 23 and starting to figure things out. That is making me smile a lot. You can block me, mute me, or follow me at on Twitter at Chattagooner. And again, Kayla, thank you so much for joining us. For everybody else, we can't see you this week because it's behind closed doors, but soon enough we will be in Findlay together for that one Knoxville friendly. And until then, go CFC.
Go Blues.
Hammer down.
Well done, sir. Jim, you gotta leave it.
Chick. Oh, Mr. Oliveira, what a cheeky goal.